You're listening to a Student Radio Conference 2018 podcast, supported by Abrupt Audio. For help with all things podcasts, go to abruptaudio.com.
Well, hello there. You're listening to the SRA podcast, bringing you highlights of day one of this year's SRA Con. I'm Chuck Adolfi from Nerve Radio, and alongside Leanne Fabian of Dean and FM, Jake Willis of Surge Radio, and Meg Haywood of Shock Radio, we're bringing you interviews with our keynote sessions from the Wednesday of SRA Con 2018 at the University of East Anglia. We opened conference with a fantastic keynote with Abrupt Audio, covering everything podcasts. We speak to James Barr and Chris Huskins about the greatness of podcasting.
Podcasting is such a great platform to get your voices out there in 2018, where so many things are being spoken about. How important is it for you to have that on something that I presume is very close to your heart?
It's really important that I think what's different about our podcast is that it is, it's not something that would be broadcast on a commercial radio station or a network, really, because I think people are kind of scared of advertisers and are worried about what content goes out, etc. So it's a really safe space for Dan and I to just be our truest selves. And I've forgotten your question.
Sorry.
Why is it important?
Yeah, why is it important to have
important
that platform?
Because what we're doing is we're showing the world that there shouldn't be a division between gay and non-gay people, and that actually those labels are defunct. They shouldn't exist. We're just people.
Exactly.
And the whole point of a gay and a non-gay is to kind of highlight that, put a spotlight on it, and show everyone that, in fact, actually the main differences between Dan and I are not our sexuality.
No, absolutely.
Just how we both behave differently as people.
Yeah, no, completely. I was listening to something on the way up.
Oh, here, thanks.
It's really honest and raw at times.
Yeah.
Particularly some of the earlier stuff. Is that ever challenging, you know, when you sit down to get that, or do you literally just see you and Dan in the room talking and it's a lot easier in that sort of situation?
I think it's easy to just speak, like Dan and I seem to just speak and then end up somewhere we didn't expect to be.
Yeah.
It's challenging to be in the room in the moment. I don't really think about how I'm being so honest.
And then
what's challenging is when I don't do the edit for a reason. It's challenging hearing the edit and going, well, am I happy with that going out? And a couple of weeks ago, I was really unhappy because I started thinking, like, if my boyfriend or husband's mum listens to this, like, that's a bit weird. Like, all this information is there. But it's helping a lot of people. And I think, you know, people are being more honest about who they are now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think what you do is brilliant for that. And as you said, you've had people come up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, in this day and age, if you haven't heard the word of podcasting or listening to one, you're a bit of an idiot, perhaps. yeah, being frank, I think it's
or
something
old,
like 20. Yeah, or old. Yeah. I think 25% have listened to a podcast now in the UK or something.
Yeah,
that was Rajar. So, what advice would you have for people at Student Radio Conference with that audience clearly there?
Yeah.
I know you alluded to it, getting out there. What would you do?
Yeah, don't block yourself. Just get on with it. Just get it done. And be yourself, I think. Be the most authentic you. That's the you that people relate to.
Literally, just as we mentioned, a lot of your talk was about you can do a podcast anywhere. Here we are at some derelict corridor in the middle of the University of East Anglia. I think you live in a cardboard box and you haven't even heard of the word podcasting in 2018.
Yeah.
I think 25% of the UK have listened to one at some point. Where's it going, and is it changing the way we listen to audio? Is it combating the radio industry, or do you think it's working alongside it?
I always use the analogy that I think podcasts will do to radio what Netflix has done to television. And the reason I use that analogy is because it's exactly the same. It's on demand. You watch what you want, when you want, with Netflix or Amazon Prime. And you do the same with podcasts. But that hasn't ruined television. And they'll see drops of figures. And we've been seeing that in radio for a while. And that's just because there's more technology and there's more choice, which is a fantastic thing for every industry. And it won't harm the radio industry to lose a few figures, but that will help them to place what their role is.
Yeah.
And a lot of radio stations are now adopting podcasts anyway because they're audio planned. So the BBC in the last week have appointed Jason Phipps, who was at The Guardian before, as head of podcasting, which is now a role. Wireless did it about 6 months ago, the Wireless Radio Group's got a head of podcasting. So it's really exciting for the radio industry, and it's super exciting for us in the podcast industry as a whole, because we used to walk into rooms 3 years ago, and we run it as a business as much as we do as a passion. We used to walk into a room 3 years ago and talk to someone for 20 minutes, and then they would go, yeah, but what is a podcast? You're like, oh, did I really just waste 20 minutes?
Yeah, literally.
And you weren't really listening. But about 6 months, maybe a year ago, you used to walk into rooms and like at least 2 out of 10 people would go, oh yeah, I've listened to Serial, I've listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno, yeah. And these massive podcasts. And so that's really changed.
It's always like, what book are you reading? Like,
yeah, exactly.
What podcast are you listening to? Yeah.
Exactly. And people are as passionate about podcasts as they are about books.
Yeah.
Now, I know people get passionate about radio presenters and radio stations, but I think that it leaves so much to the imagination. And if you're telling a story or an interview, people really attach to them, and they get really, they binge listen. That's not it. Binge watching wasn't a term until last year or whatever when Netflix coined it. Now people binge listening to podcasts. So for me, that's just amazingly exciting.
And do you see podcasting sticking in the same format? Or as you say, the beauty of it is you can do what you want with it. Mm. But do you see podcasting perhaps featuring on radio? I know it does infrequently now. Or can you see maybe a station in the future that is a podcasting radio station?
Yeah. It's happening already. So yeah. I mean, we do a comedy football show called On the Left Side, which everyone that works on that show is a radio presenter or was a radio presenter. Started this thing because we could do what we want with it, and it's funny, it's quirky, it swears. And then we got nominated for an Arias Radio Award in the radio category for best sports show. So not for best podcast or anything. Got nominated against the BBC, against TalkSport, and all these things. Our little podcast. In a radio category. So it shows how much the two can mix. And then on from that, TalkSport asked us to do a special podcast for their December output. So the podcast went on to radio anyway, which is really nice for us because we're all from radio. But also it's kind of like the American model in that they create content and then it gets played out. And whether that's as a podcast or on a radio station, both will be just as amazing. And I think that's what we need to happen here. We focus on the content.
Yeah.
And where it goes out, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you are restricted with Ofcom in this country for some things you can do on radio, and that's why podcasts can do everything. But I think most podcasts could easily transform onto radio and beyond.
Well, that's something you're thinking about getting involved in. Absolutely excellent advice on podcasting there from James and Chris. Whether it's podcasting or radio, you'll be thinking about what brilliant features you can have on your show. Who better to hear from than our keynote speaker, Matt Edmondson?
It's Leanne here at the Student Radio Association Conference 2018, and I'm now sat with Matt Edmondson. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Leanne?
I'm good, thank you. So you've just done a talk all about making brilliant features, which I will get to, but you also had your producer, Will, with you. First of all, I just wanted to ask, how important is that relationship between you and your producer when making these features?
Will specifically, not important at all. A producer-presenter... No, I'm just joking, of course, I love him a bit. Producer-presenter relationship, really important. You kind of need to know that you trust each other. Mm-hmm. So I need Will to know that I know what I'm up to, and I need to know from his side that he knows the direction that we're going with the show. So sometimes he knows more than I do, sometimes I know more than he does, but hopefully we come together and manage to get through the show. And I think the things that he's good at, I'm not, and the things that I'm good at, he actually probably is good at, but he lets me get on with them anyway.
So my question. So you talked a bit about the differences between active and passive features. I've never heard of anything like that before. I thought a feature was a feature. Could you explain for the listeners what that difference is?
Yeah, so a passive feature is something that you would listen to that maybe you'll find funny, but it won't necessarily tickle a part of your brain that wants to make you get involved with it. Let me think of a good passive feature from our show. So on our show, something like Alphabetical, where you're listening along, and the most work you're having to do is think of the next letter of the alphabet in your head, but you're not playing a game, you're not getting involved. Mm-hmm. Whereas an active feature, hopefully we want you to be shouting at the radio or thinking, oh, yes, I know the answer to this. So games are really good for that. Mm-hmm. So the example I gave up there is if you watch a quiz on the telly and a question comes up, you almost have to be a very strange person to not try and answer that. And that's the bit of the brain that I'm trying to get to, is a bit where you go, oh, they're doing a quiz. I probably should try and work out what the answer here is. And making sure that that's not too difficult for people, maybe isn't even general knowledge based, but it's just something where they can react in a way that means they have to get involved. If there's someone else in the car or at home, then they want to turn to them and say, I have an answer to that question. I know what that is, rather than just, or think it in their own heads, rather than just sort of have it wash over them.
but you also, you get to work with a lot of celebrities and stars on your show. What's the first time like when you sat with someone who maybe you really admired? How did you cope with that situation? Because I'd probably be fangirling my head off.
I don't know if there's something wrong with me, but it's never been anything that's worried me or bothered me at all. I've always thought of everyone as a human being. And so it doesn't scare me. Like, I remember meeting the Queen years ago when I did Kids TV. And I was like, oh, she's just a lovely lady. she's just a female person. I never get overwhelmed by interviewing people. And I always think that part of my job is to, an important part of my job is to not get overwhelmed, because I need to make sure that I have a conversation with them that's as close to the conversation their friends would have with them, because you're trying to build that rapport as instantly as possible. So for me, I want the status to be that we're equals coming into it. And I think that makes the whole situation much more normal.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they're just someone who's very talented at what they do, but they're still a human being. And there are loads of people, I know loads of talented people who aren't famous. Like, there's a guy who bakes brilliant bread, who lives on my street, but and no one can bake bread like this guy, but it doesn't mean he's any more special than anyone else. He just does a thing well.
So what is like your most favourite thing for your show that you've ever worked on?
Do you know what? It's always whatever the last thing I've done is. So in the talk that I did at the Student Radio Conference, we played a clip of Bryan Cranston being on the show with Molly King, who was guest hosting for a month. And we did a thing where we managed to convince Molly that Bryan Cranston was her super fan. By having someone in Bryan Cranston's ear telling him all about the Saturdays. And Molly totally fell for it, hook, line and sinker, and it was an idea we had very last minute that Bryan Cranston absolutely didn't have to do, and he did it, and he played along with it really well, and that was really satisfying. But I kind of like everything I do.
Yeah.
Anything I give a go to, at the time, I think it's good because there's a reason I'm doing it. Sometimes it transpires that it's not good, and then I just forget about it and move on to the next thing.
What advice would you give to somebody who is maybe too self-critical of their work?
I think, firstly, everyone is self-critical. Everyone has a seed of doubt, and it's a very exposing medium because it is just you and a microphone and your voice, and no one likes hearing their own voice back. You know, if you record a voicemail on your phone, you think, oh God, is that what I sound like? I guess the more you do it, the better you get at it. But also listening back to it is really important, because you can hear the things that didn't work so well. But you should also focus in on the stuff that does work really well and think to yourself, yeah, that was good. I'm happy with that thing. It's really easy, I think, to focus on the negative. And actually, you've got to have balance. And instinctively, it's hard to give yourself praise. But I think you do need to listen back to stuff and say, yes, that was a good thing that I did there. And also not worry about failing. If you try something and it doesn't work, it's okay, because everyone who's ever done anything good has failed at loads of other stuff at the same time, and no one gets it right first time in any creative industry whatsoever. You look at film directors, some of their early movies won't be that great, and their later stuff's brilliant. Same with stand-up comedians, they'll have done Edinburgh show after Edinburgh show, and then eventually they'll get their Netflix special, and that's when everyone sees them, but there's been so much work before that. So I would say, try to remember that everyone else is feeling exactly the same thing, and if you think it's a good idea inside you somehow, you will probably have a good idea.
You have so many features on your programme. You had a list on the board of the talk of just how many. How do you keep track of those?
Well, this is the problem, I don't keep track of them. And Will didn't used to be my producer, and I had a different producer, and I, at the end of him being on my show and Will then coming in, I was like, we need to write some of these things down. So whenever anyone would think of a thing that we'd done that we could do again, we'd put it on the WhatsApp group. Generally though, things that are good tend to stick in your memory and survive a bit. And you think, oh, we've got to do that again. You get an excited feeling about it. And the stuff that was okay but not amazing tends to kind of ebb away until sometimes I think of the same idea and think it's a new idea and realise, oh no, I did that 2 years ago.
So the penultimate question, what key advice would you give to someone trying to get their foot in the door with a presenting gig like this?
I think that there's no excuse to not make stuff now. You know, you've got a microphone, your phone's got a microphone, phone's got a camera, you can edit on a mobile phone, you can edit in Instagram, you know, there's so much stuff you can do. So there's no reason to not be recording stuff all the time. even if you know that no one's necessarily going to hear it.
Yeah.
In terms of getting into presenting, I think you do need to find out what it is that you offer that's different to what everyone else is doing. So look at Radio 1. It's like a little family, but no one really does what anyone else does. Grimmy is very different to Charlie Sloth, he's very different to Greg, he's very different to Clara, he's very different to Alice, he's very different to me. And we all do different things. And I've looked at it in not such a calculated way, but I realise that the thing that I'm not is particularly cool, and that's fine, I own that. So I'm a bit dorky. The thing that I am good at is games, and I get very angry when I play games, and I come up with lots of them. So that's a thing that I've made part of my show. And so I guess it's about finding your voice, but it does take a little while of trying and experimenting, and then just harass people. Not I don't mean like literally harass them, but I mean find out who's in charge of stuff and just email them lots and make yourself aware.
So during your presentation as well, between slides where we had a bit of technical difficulties, there was a gorgeous picture of your dog.
Yes.
Do you think having a dog helps your radio career?
I think it helps my radio career because it helps my life in general. I'm a happier human being for having that dog. Gets me out of the house, gets to go on a walk, I get a cuddle with him in the evenings.
Lovely.
He does provide content sometimes, it's good to be able to talk about him. But I would say that having a dog is, forget the radio career, having a dog is just a good thing for being a human being. It's great, makes you feel good.
Thank you so much for talking.
Thanks
to
so much. Thank I really you. Enjoyed that. That's a really good job.
There from Matt Edmondson. This has been a podcast for the Student Radio Association with support from Abrupt Audio. Check out our other day highlight podcasts and also our individual clips from each talk at conference.
The Student Radio Conference 2018 is supported by Abrupt Audio. If you're making or thinking of making a podcast, the guys at Abrupt Audio are happy to help. Check them out at abruptaudio.com and join their free podcasting community on Facebook by going to podtips.net.